You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Okay, the note announcements go to the scripture reading. It's in Ephesians today, chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of the promise of Christ, the promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, it's great to be in the pulpit again, and see some visitors here. And it's good to see all our regular folk as well. And I'm sure that we're going to enjoy the scriptures that we open and read. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for all that thou hast given us. And we think, Lord, of the scriptures that have been opened so far in our time here at this fellowship. We thank thee for the men that have preached the word, been faithful to it. And we ask, Lord, for your continuance. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, let's see whether we can get all these things working. So up here, we've got our traditional slide, which introduces the basic topic here, which is to do with Proverbs. And so here you've got Sophia, the Greek word for wisdom, and Kokma here, which is the Hebrew word. And the Hebrew word is associated with a female, a woman, Lady Kokma. And it's a great thing to have Lady Wisdom come to you and give you some advice. Now, we've looked at all sorts of things to do with Proverbs, and this is a great summary of the book of Proverbs, but it doesn't hit it. And the reason why it doesn't hit it is because it misses something that is quite vital. And that is, it doesn't show you the scope of Proverbs. Now, I'm not going against this. I think these things can be quite valuable for you to understand some of the salient issues that come up in a book. I think these are great in many ways. But if you can take the time and study the structure of the book of Proverbs, you begin to see things in here that you wouldn't otherwise notice. And so the scope really of a passage is really given by the structure. And up here, I'm showing you this particular portion, which comes from the Companion Bible, 19:20-24:34. And we are right down here at the end, and you'll notice that it says Proverbs for Solomon. So what you'll find in here is you'll find in Proverbs there's Proverbs for Solomon, and then there's Proverbs from Solomon. And you've got to really see that this is a distinctive and goes through for a prince and a king, second person. And it goes through carefully noting how the second person is used. So one thing that we have come to see about the book of Proverbs is that if you understand that basic division, then a whole lot of interpretation becomes quite evident and plain. And we've seen this. And down here it talks about, you know, dear's addressed to my son, and is all in the second person, the TH pronoun. Thou, thee, thy, thyself. And if you look at the Companion Bible, it gives you a nice start, because the start of the book is always a big indicator of what's going on. And you'll notice the word, the Hebrew word, mishlei, in the Greek, para oimiai, any dark, sententious saying, and the Vulgate, proverbia, whence the English name. Now, the Hebrew word comes from this mishlei, and is from mashal, to rule. Ah, to rule. Oh, okay. So now this makes even more sense then, right? Where you get these proverbs, which are coming from Solomon, or for Solomon, and for the princes and for people in a place of authority, places of authority in terms of rulership. And all of a sudden things become quite interesting and more plain. And so here's the overall structure as you'll find in the Companion Bible. Notice the way it's put down here, and you've got in the middle section here, section D, Proverbs for Solomon, and then 25 begins another section, Proverbs by Solomon. Let's just open up the scriptures there, right? Let's just have a look at that. So I'm juggling two Bibles now. You see, I've got Companion Bible here, and I've got my plain without notes King James Bible. I like this because it means that I've got plenty of room to write my own notes in. Okay, so here in Proverbs 24, verse 1, it says, "Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them." Great statement when you consider that this is going to be written to princes, to like Solomon. They've got to be very careful who they mix it up with, right? Don't be pulled aside by evil persons. And then look at chapter 25. Look at this. These are also proverbs of Solomon, right? Of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied out. Yeah, these are the scribes that copied these things out. And very clearly titling this, you know, Proverbs of Solomon. So Solomon's going to write things. He was a wise man. But when you come across people who are wise in the Bible, do not think that that means that they're wise in every facet of their life, because they're not. And Solomon blew it big time. Big time. But notice the structure here. It's very carefully given. Now, one of the great appendices that you'll find in the back of the Companion Bible is this Appendix 74, which gives a good discussion. I've read this about three times. You need to read it about four times or five times, because it's packed. It's got so much great information here about the book of Proverbs. If you look, to try and speed things up, I've copied this down here for you, but if you look at Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20, it says here, "When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother." Now this is given directly, these instructions are given for Israel on how to choose their king, right? Now you think about our situation here in America, we don't have a king, but we do have a president, right? And the president has got to be natural born citizen, right? It sort of parallels a little bit of this, right? Some of the wisdom you can see in here, and then it goes on and it says, "But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt." Oh boy. "To the end that he should multiply horses, for as much as the Lord has said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way." You know, Egypt was well known for its horses, its chariots. It was a powerful nation, and a lot of the hieroglyphics show this. A lot of them will show the power of the Egyptian army in terms of its horsemanship and its chariots. And it says, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Have you wondered why in Proverbs there's this big discussion about the strange woman? And a lot of people, what they do is they'll come to Proverbs and they'll take it in isolation and they'll come to some weird conclusion like the Bible is against women and all. No, the Bible is not against women. What it's opposed to is a false religion coming in, utilizing the strange woman to take away the nation from the one and true God. That's the context of this. And if you understand what's going on here, the special instruction to leaders and to be observant about this, not to be taken away. And notice that Solomon messed up in that particular area. Right? It's very interesting. And then it says here in verse 18, it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his king, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. One thing he must have is a copy of the law, and it's his responsibility to get it. Right? You think about a president. What's the nature? What's the ideal president? Well, he should have the scriptures next to him, and he takes responsibility to do this. This means a converted man. Man who's interested in what God has to say. And when he sees what God has to say, so he's going to have wisdom in leading a nation or nations. That's the way it is. And shall be with him, and he shall read therein. It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment. Notice this, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. Oh no, he might be king, but he understands that he's just a human being with fallen attributes like everyone else. This is the nature of this. And it's similarly in Deuteronomy 7, you can read this through yourself, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. That is, when you allow yourself to join with women and other representatives of the other gods. That is the context of the strange woman in Proverbs. And, interesting things written here, talking about Solomon and how he did choose wisdom, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor has asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. So now he gains all these additional things that God lavishes on him. So it's very interesting. Well, we've been looking at these Proverbs, and we've looked at Proverbs 23, and I talked about personal character and how the point is that in the founding generation, you don't find perfection. But you find fallen people, just like Solomon, for example. But you do see some wisdom, too, right? You do see some wisdom. Look at this statement here. Our constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And as the nation starts to slip and slide down away from the true God, the constitution will have less and less effect on the people. Because the Constitution is really just enshrining what God has given us, our freedoms and liberty. They're God-given. That's the origin of them. And so once a nation goes away from the true God, so the Constitution will become irrelevant. And we need to understand that when we elect leaders, what we want people who are newborn, who respect the scriptures, who understand who the Lord Jesus is. That's what we really need and want. Yeah, so we're talking about the fellowship of people with power, and the Proverbs is really really great about talking about this, warning people, showing you wisdom. Okay, we're going to move a little bit further away from this, and we talked about the Gaal. Here's a really interesting thing, again, talking about the strange woman, right? The strange woman. Again, if you understand the place of the strange woman in Proverbs, then you understand what he's really getting at. And that is this influence of bringing people away from the true God. And that's what that strange woman is about. Starts off with the strange woman advertising herself for business and enticing people, right? That's what's going on there. Then comes the wine. What does the wine do? It disconnects the brain from the spirit. And then they fall. And then what happens is they're now in with what the scriptures say, the strange woman. So above, it's the whore. That's the, hey, come and look at me. Come see what I've got to share. Can't do it, but the wine enables it, right? The wine is an enabler to allow this to happen. And then finally, they're in there with the strange woman, which is an apostate, bringing the apostate religion in and destroying faith in the true God. Okay, so that's what it's about. So what we're going to do now is we're going to just move into Proverbs 24, and I want to bring out some important issues in here. We won't be able to get through all of this, but I want to see some parallels that I think we can learn and see our place as leaders in our society and see whether we can get some instruction that would be pertinent to us by utilizing this principle of right division. So chapter 24, verse 1, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them, you leaders. Don't be taken aside. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. That's pretty plain, right? It's a pretty plain and obvious thing that's going on here. Through wisdom is an house builder. Now here comes something we can really start to apply. Through wisdom is an house builded. And Ronnie, you know something about this in a practical sense. And by understanding, it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Now, you look at this. By wisdom is an house builded. If you want to gain instruction about what God is doing, what is God building today, then you have to really understand the scriptures rightly divided. You have to understand who Paul is. You have to understand that Paul, right, this aurum here, this gold, what you've got to do is you've got to see that he has a twofold ministry. Right, he has a twofold ministry where, first of all, he's going to the Jew first, right, and he's giving an advantage to the Jew, and you'll find this right through the book of Acts. Then at some stage after the end of the book of Acts was this thing called the mystery was revealed. We read it at the beginning, Ephesians 3. This mystery was revealed. And then this new creation made. Based upon the mystery. Now, all of this is just going to be gobbledygook to people who haven't been brought along. The Bible, in terms of salvation, it's simple, man. It's just easy to understand. The basic idea of our need for the Savior, it's clear and obvious. But my friends, what I'm talking about here requires that you study, right? That's what Paul says, 2 Timothy. And you've got to rightly divide the word of truth. And one of the major divisions, which I never knew as a newborn Christian, I did not know this. I did not understand this at all. In fact, I was in a fellowship where all sorts of strange things were taught. That, for example, one of the things that we're taught is that we should be speaking in tongues. We should be manifesting all sorts of signs and wonders and things like this. And some people claimed they could do it. And they made ridiculous statements. They made you feel like, what is this Christianity? Is this really what we've come to? And what I had in my early experience in a fellowship was confusion. absolute confusion, man. And I got to the point where I said, well, this is not worth going to church for. I got better things to do with my time, really. I fundamentally don't believe this. And it's really this, understanding this, that brought the clarity that I needed. I needed to understand that Paul had a ministry to the nation of Israel, and with that ministry were signs and wonders that really were done. Yes, I mean really. I mean that there were real resurrections. Now people say, oh, there's real resurrection. Yeah, where? Oh, over there in Papua New Guinea. Oh, really? You know? It's always over there. It's always over there. How about here? You know? So the hard things are always over there, and the stuff that you can fake, okay, we can do that. Hasta la shandai, eat a machine die, right? Right? We can do that. We can play some games. But in your heart, you know something's wrong, man. Something's wrong. And at this fellowship here, we've come to understand that. It's not small, friends. This is not a small issue. It says, through wisdom is an house builded. There is wisdom in the building of the house of Israel. There is. There's design and purpose to it. The house of Israel was designed to be the salt of the earth and to take the knowledge of God to the ends of the earth. Unfortunately, Israel didn't want that job and didn't want the Messiah that was sent and rejected him. But in so doing, brought about the salvation of the world. You see, he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They said no. And he went out and bought the world, man. He bought the world. And it says this, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Just have a look at that further in Ephesians 3. Have a look at this. Just see what I'm talking about here. If you want to get wisdom, then you need to go to the man that God has appointed to speak to us in this age. This is what it says in Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. You notice it says prisoner? That's a big key right there, friends. You've got yourself a key. Man, keys are great when they work. You got to get the right key. It's got to fit the right lock. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, would. The dispensation. What is this? This is the economy. This is the oikonomia. This is the household rules. House. Through wisdom is an house builded. Yeah. Do you know what this wisdom is, friends? Because we've got to be instructed in it so that we can talk intelligently about it, so that we in turn can educate the principalities and powers who are listening. You say, but you're here just to look after the human being. Actually, friends, this is something wild, which I want to bring up to you. That actually, no. Look at verse 10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Wait a minute. See the little word there, by? The little preposition? By the church. Oh, so, okay. So this is going to be told by the instrumentality of the church. The, look at it, manifold, not just wisdom, the manifold wisdom of God. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Come on, man. If you do not understand this, my friends, you cannot be effective. You cannot be effective to do God's will. God's will is that we know these things, that we communicate these things. And by virtue of the fact that these principalities and powers are going to be instructed, it means that they know what's going on here. You don't have to search them out. They're here. You say, what do you mean they're here? I mean that they have access here. Right? Wherever they are in the heavenly realm, we don't understand this, but it's some sort of interdimensional thing. In some sort of interdimensional movement that they can see into our realm. And from time to time, I believe God allows them to come in their machines. Now that's getting wild. And don't expect everyone to believe me. And you know, that's okay. And stick to the scriptures. We know this much, right? We know this much. It says this. Verse 4. Whereby, when you read, ye may understand my knowledge. If you want to go to someone who has been instructed about what's going on today, then you've got to find Paul, the prisoner. You've got to find him, friends, because he's telling you, look at the state of my knowledge, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Yeah, there was the mystery of Christ. There were elements of the mystery of Christ which were revealed. But there was something very distinctive about the crowning revelation of the mystery of Christ which was given to Paul, which we commonly call the mystery. He says this, that the Gentiles should be fallow heirs. Uh-oh, now see this word? This is one of the sous words. And it comes to us in the form of sunkleronomos. Fallow heirs, joint heirs, and of the same body, susoma, the same body. You know, if you look for this word in Greek literature, susoma, not there. Not there. What's happened here? It appears, because we don't have all of Greek literature. We don't have it all, so we can't say for sure, but it appears that this is a coinage. This is what Paul made up to fit this new situation which has come about. Susoma, man, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, we preach a distinctive gospel. What is that gospel? Well, one thing we know about it, it says this, verse 8, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Right? Unsearchable, man. These unsearchable riches. You notice it talks about, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Yeah. We're beginning to see in our age some of these chambers, man, and the riches that are ours. But we have to rightly divide the word of truth. We've got to get started on this, friends. If you don't know what I'm really talking about, friends, and you're in internet land, you need to get the ABCs of Right Division, friends. Rightdivision.com. Get on there, friends. Get it right. Get it right. You need to get going. Well, we can stay on this, right? But I need to get into Proverbs. So we're gonna get back to Proverbs. Though this is really where I really love to talk about, I think Proverbs has got more to say to us, so let's get into it. Proverbs, chapter number 24. Great passage, man. And it says in verse 4, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong. Ah, a wise man is strong. Boy, was I tempted to put in here all sorts of transgender nonsense in here. Because what we're seeing today are not men. Absolute wimps and fools. You say, why are you using these words? Scriptural, that's why. From the book of Proverbs. Scriptural. Fools. Don't be suckered. Don't give in to your weaknesses. We all have them. Each one of you here will have weaknesses as me. I have my particular assortment. Right? I've got mine. You will have another assortment where you have some particular weaknesses. And there are these people who now proclaim themselves as transgender. You've got your weakness and you're giving into them. That's how you differ from me. You've just given into them. That's all. So wake up. Man, get me mad. Verse 5, a wise man is strong. Isn't that what a woman wants? She wants a strong man. Male man. Yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. Spiritual strength. You gain knowledge. Hey, man. Man, can we wax on this? Right? Because when you get to understand right the vision, man, do you become strong. You become strong. You're not going to be fooled. We're from the local kingdom hall. Get a life, man. You know what I'm saying? Rightly divide the word of truth. What are you trying to do preaching the gospel of the kingdom for a start? You know? Man, alive. Verse 6, for by wisdom counsel thou shalt make thy war. Yeah, there's a time for war. There's a time for peace. You realize that, right? There is a time for war. It does come. And when it's a time for war, you better have good counsel and you better have good understanding and your decisions better be sound. And it says this, and in multitude of counselors, there is safety. Yeah, that's right. Good counselors. Get them around you. Understand what's going on. You can't understand everything. You're not wise in every feature of things. So you've got to get counsel around you. That's the teaching of scriptures. And it says this, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. You can't have a fool to be a judge. And we as human beings, we must see fools for what they are and say, no, not voting for you because you're a fool. That's just the way it is, right? Suddenly, when you start getting scriptural, it becomes real plain. Language becomes plain. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. Yeah? Plain. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. Yeah, that's in the end. The men here, talking about the righteous men, they see this for what it is. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. Now look at this. This is kind of interesting. Now, this here is talking about, you know, oikonomia. Talking about the dispensation, how it's used, you know, stewardship and dispensation, how the house works with this, the household rules. And so in the house, you've got to have a leader. There is a leader. Now look what it says here. Verse 10, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. People who are strong can face up to adversity and they don't fall. Without right division, you're going to cave to a lot of stuff, man, in the Bible, because people can justify all kinds of doctrines because they don't rightly divide. And if you do not understand the key to right division, that is especially understanding Paul's twofold ministry, unless you've got that straightened out, you're in trouble, man. You're going to try and get people baptized to get them saved. You're going to try and say, well, if you're in communion, you can have communion. And if you're not in communion, you can't have. And I'll decide who's in communion. All this kind of junk. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain. Okay, now put this back into its context, which we started with at the beginning. That is, this is in the context of a leader. The responsibility of people like Solomon and princes. They've got to make decisions, right? And they can see something going on. You can see that there's a vulnerable group over there. And you look the other way, man. You look the other way. To deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain, and you forbear it. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. Behold, wait a minute. It says, if thou, that's singular, if thou sayest, that's the leader. If you as a leader, and you can see people that are in need, and they're getting ready to be slain, and you forbear to do it, you don't do it, you look the other way. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. You notice, you say, the singular person says, we didn't see it. What about you? The address is to you, singular. But what do you answer with? We didn't see it. You want to pass the buck. That's the first thing, right? We didn't see it. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? He that pondereth, that's God. Proverbs 21:2. He that pondereth the heart is the Lord God. He ponders the heart. He sees what's going on in the heart. And it says, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? You're not going to escape. You can pretend in the face of men that you do not see something going on and you don't do anything about it. You've got to be strong, man, and you've got to make the right decisions. What is it? What is it with the American forces? There's the ones who are right up the front battle, man, and they're trained hard in the Green Berets and all these people who are the really well-trained American forces. They've got a policy, and the policy is leave no one behind. Right? Do you remember that policy? And that means their comrades, if they get killed, they will risk their own lives to get that body, even though it's, the person's dead. No, the policy is we all leave, get that body, and everyone comes out. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it, and shall not he render to every man, look at this, according to his works. See, this is talking to the man that's supposed to be the righteous leader. Is this inconsistent with what we understand about salvation? No, it's not. Right in the major epistles that bring out salvation by grace, what do you hear? The judgment seat of Christ. And every man's work shall be made manifest, man, because it shall be declared by fire. And every man's work which shall abide and remain, you will receive a reward. And those that do not, it shall be burnt up, yet he shall be saved, yet as by fire. The works are there, man. You're going to be judged by your works. The question is, have you got salvation through Jesus' blood? That's what's going to mean that you're going to remain. But that doesn't get you off the hook for not doing what you should do as a leader. As a leader, you need to put your best foot forward, man, and be honest. Everyone comes out, man. There's a vulnerable party over there, a group of people. We're going to go for it, man. Well, that's an amazing thing. A wise man is strong. Have we got a good examples of wise men? We sure do. We have got a repository of wisdom in a man. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Consider what I say, and this is the important one. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things, man. AU, man. Gold! Aurum! You need to find the Apostle Paul. If you know Christ, that's great. But that doesn't mean to say that's going to keep you out of all kinds of doctrinal problems. You need to find the truth of the Word of God. Rightly divided. Otherwise, you're going to try and blame other people for messing up. So as we go down, it says this, my son, this is verse 13. Seppi is smiling at this one. Because I've got a little bit of a taste problem here. You know, it's got to do with a sweet tooth. But not just any old sweet. My thing is honey. I mean, if you look in our cupboards, you're not going to find these little bear things. You know, there's a Mickey Mouse. You know, now what you'll find are buckets of honey, and I particularly like some of the clover honeys. And but anyway, we're going to get onto this. Look what it says: "My son, eat thou honey." My verse, friends. Oh, this is it. Eat thou honey. Why? Because it's good. It is, man. I don't know. I don't know why everybody's not just going for honey. It's just unbelievable stuff. And the honeycomb. I love that too. It's hard to get, but I love the honeycomb where you chew it, you know. It turns into sort of like a bubblegum type thing. And chew it down. Which is sweet to thy taste. Now, the interesting thing about honey is, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. It's a comparison. It's the joy and the sweetness and the satisfaction of the honey. That's what this is like. The wisdom, knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. You see, your expectation is going to be completely messed up unless you get right division. You're going to be expecting to be a part of the nation of Israel. And you're going to expect that you're going to get in on their hope. Right? To get the expectation which is of God, you have to rightly divide. My friends, you've got to get that wisdom. And man, it's like honey, and I know what honey's like, friends. I was going to bring a bucket along, show you what I eat. Man, it is wonderful. It's a wonderful truth. Well, we're not going to go much further than this because I'm out of time. But I'm not out of bullets. There's a lot more here, friends. And the book of Proverbs, it has this parallel with the situation of wisdom as we should understand it in this age. So you guys, if you don't know much about this wisdom concerning right division, then you need to come out to the Truth for Today conference and learn more about it. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for all that Thou hast shown us in the Scriptures. And we thank Thee for the book of Proverbs about the Lady Kokhma who comes to us, Lord, with this wisdom. We pray that we would ever learn this and understand this manifold wisdom of God, that we could be used of Thee, not only in teaching people here on this earth, but also the principalities and powers in heavenly places. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.